Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I should have played this the last two nights. ATLians with the All-Star game down in Atlanta. This is the vibe. This is the energy. I took a call last night. Somebody said that, they were in Pittsburgh. What was his name in Pittsburgh? Was it Jonathan or Joseph? He might be listening. He said he was in Pittsburgh somewhere and they were watching the game. And they're like, why is Ludacris performing? I'm like, what? Why wouldn't Ludacris be performing in Atlanta? He's like a king down there. I went down there last August. I just missed Ludacris bobblehead night. I was upset about that. I'm like, maybe I could stay for a little. I didn't even know they did stuff like that. Ludacris bobblehead night. The Yankees just had Billy Joel bobblehead night. I got that one. It was a cool one. The whole piano. He's got the shades on. I learned a lot about Billy Joel the other night too.
Now I was listening to you when you were on the night after that game.
Yeah.
And you were not familiar with a lot of those Billy Joel songs. I was very upset with you, if I'm going to be honest.
A couple people hit me about that. It wasn't that like I don't know. I didn't put Billy Joel. I know what he looks like. I know the name. I didn't put his name and face to the songs. I'd heard all those songs before,
right?
But like Billy Joel is not in my playlist. You know, I'm not in the whip queuing up the Billy Joel classics. But respect to Billy Joel, and I kind of dedicated that show to him because I was like, one, that stadium was packed Friday night for that Billy Joel bobblehead, which helps the vibe and the energy. And what the Yankees do, they come out and they score 11 runs and they shut them out. And Cody Bellinger hits three, almost four home runs, and Carlos Rodon has, you know, eight innings in him and eight Ks. And I'm like, the energy was so right in the Bronx when it didn't have to be, coming off of what they did against sweeping the Mariners. Like, it didn't have to be. They had every excuse for a letdown on Friday night, which I've seen a ton up there at Yankee Stadium. But I'm like, that Billy Joel bobblehead energy just kind of had the fans ready and the players fed off of it. And shout out to Billy Joel because I heard he canceled his tour and he had some health complications. And I was like, man, if anybody can get this message to him that hears my voice on WFAN, tell him we're rooting for him. We love him out here. We appreciate him. We're going to play some Billy Joel tonight. And we played probably five or six Billy Joel songs coming in and out of the break. I learned a lot. I learned a lot that night. 888-808-1019. Let's keep talking about the New York Yankees and the trade deadline. We'll stay there. We're going to queue up some audio after this next call. It was last night. As I said, I was watching the game in here. And, you know, you kind of miss things when you're on air because the sound is off. Derek Jeter gave his World Series pick. But he also said something else. We'll play the audio in a minute. Let me take a couple calls. My guy G makes Gary's in Waterbury back on the Fan.
Yo, shouts to Andre 3000 and Big Boy on the rejoin. Yo, and McFerrin Cavalier.
Yeah.
I smash teeth after your beast. No relief. I step on stage.
The girls scream like I'm Keith. Craig Mack.
You know it. And Volpe isn't going anywhere. Cashman is going to die in that story. That's all right. That, if you don't know that by now,
I'm tired of saying it. I'm not getting this message from Brian Cashman of the Yankees itself. It's obvious. If you're a Yankee fan, the captain, the manager, and the GM have all basically been like, yo, enough.
Yeah. And what do you think about Key Brian Hayes at third? Is that enough for you?
Not worried about his fielding. His numbers on paper do not wow me. His numbers on paper as far as his hitting do not really make me say give up anything for him. But what if they can get him for the low? And what I said is, what if Charlie Hayes kid puts on those pinstripes?
They got to get him on the low. And then bullpen, we're going to have to give up something good.
So him and David Bednar.
But everybody's going for bullpen at the deadline. That's what everybody needs. So we're going to have to give – we're probably going to have to give up Jones.
Yeah, but that's crazy,
for the bullpen.
Bro. Not for any rentals. I'm not giving up Spencer Jones. What if Spencer Jones – and I know nobody can be Judge, but what if he's like a Judge, a left-handed Judge light for somebody else? And he's Nah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not with that.
So you're going to put him in the outfield next year? That means he's got to be in the outfield next year.
I don't know if his development.
And then we got.
I don't know if his development screams that he's a big leaguer next year out of spring training. I think we can still slow play that. He just got
the
Scranton.
That's why they're probably going to move him. Because who else are we going to move to get a? Because everyone's going for bullpen. It's a high market.
Yeah, they're not moving George Lombard. I don't think they can move Cam Schlittler because you need him to make starts. You need him to pitch in your rotation right now. Ben Hess. I don't think they move on from Roderick Arias.
No, it's got to be Jones. That's why. It's going to have to be Jones.
Okay, so if it's Spencer Jones, I want two relievers. I want two for the price of one for Spencer Jones. He's our number two prospect.
Right. Yeah, but the outfield's clogged because if we keep Belly, you got Belly, Judge, and Dominguez already. So, you know.
You always need a fourth outfielder.
Yeah, Grisham.
And Belly can play first base, right? Paul Goldschmidt won't be back next year. Is Ben Rice the everyday first baseman?
Judge has to move to first.
No, not
soon.
Next year.
Bro, not next year.
I was
but
at the game
soon.
Friday. Judge covers right field. Right field is not hard for Judge to play in Yankee Stadium. He covers every blade of grass in right field.
Just to prevent the injury. It's pretty soon. Now, I'm not saying now, but he's going to have to move there eventually. Oof.
Three. Well, including this, not including this year. The second half, three and a half. The second half of this year, age 33, 35, 36, then we move him. Thanks for the call, Gary. Appreciate you always, bro. I don't know why you guys are in a rush to move Judge to first base. The guy robs a home run off of Pete Crow Armstrong by just doing a little bunny hop. He has played right field in Yankee Stadium so many games. I made the joke the other day about how the Judge's chambers make sense now. Like, that is his territory. He moved over to center field last year because they got the generational Juan Soto. But as soon as Soto didn't want to be a Yankee, all right, all good, understood. The first part of the pivot was, okay, Judge goes back to his true position, his rightful spot. I'm not rushing him out of there. He's 33. I honestly think he can play there 35 years old, maybe 36 you start thinking about it. And we'll see. He's got a big frame, big body guy. Everybody anticipates him breaking down. I'm not anticipating taking him out of right field until he can't play the position. And with his arm, nah, bro. I don't know. I'm not on that. That future, we're not there yet. My son will be in elementary school before I'm telling him, like, oh, yeah, Judge about to be in first base. No. Nope. Let's go to Ryan out on Long Island. Ryan, you're on the Fan.
All right. Hello.
Hello.
I am calling from actually Long Island, and I'm here to talk about Juan Soto leaving the Yankees to go to the Mets.
Yeah, why'd he do that?
I have no clue. I feel like we don't know the behind the scenes of what was going on with the Yankees, but it's like you take this contract and you leave a team just for the Mets to not get anywhere. It's like he's two different people when he plays on the Yankees and the Mets.
I mean, he's still Juan Soto. I still see it. He's got, you know, multi-homer games. He turned it on in June. He was the best player in baseball in June. But it's just something about the Met jersey. It brings your aura down at least 10 points. It's just not as cool as the pinstripes and the road grays, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I go to a school where we have this jersey day. You see these kids rocking a Juan Soto jersey, and it's the Mets version. It's like, why?
Yeah, it's not swag, bro. It's not cool. Like, I guess. Good. You know, but it would look way cooler in pinstripes, way cooler in the road gray. But it was a one-year thing.
Yeah, you got to stay loyal to your team.
Well, if he was going to do that, he would have signed with the Nationals for $440 million. or whatever they offered him. You know, you remember that? The Nationals offered him before the 2022 season, and he didn't take that offer. He knew he was going to get big money. He knew Steve Cohen was around. He knew Steve Cohen was going to give him the bag.
Yeah. I feel like these people, they know that they're going to get big offers because they know they're good, and they're just waiting and waiting until they get something absolutely huge.
Like Pete Alonso, you know? Like, Pete Alonso is going to opt out, and he's going to go back and say, hey, where's the money? Like, the big money this time.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Ryan. 888-808-1019. Yeah, I don't know, man. Some of y'all wearing those Juan Soto jerseys, you think they're cool. They're not that cool. I'm just playing with you. They had a whole Juan Soto jersey giveaway day. I can't even wear my Juan Soto Yankees, which now it's not a Juan Soto Yankees jersey. It might be a Harrison Bader basketball jersey. I post a picture of me walking in Yankee land on Twitter with my 22 basketball jersey giveaway. That, yeah, it was when Juan Soto was on the team, they made it the Juan Soto jersey giveaway. It's no longer that. It's Ben Rice right now. It's Ben Rice right now. It's Roger Clemens. What are you talking about? Yeah, so I don't know. Going back to, you know, what he started with, I guess some kids think that Juan Soto left the Yankees and it was a loyalty thing. There's no loyalty there. Hopefully we've cleared all that up by now. Juan Soto belongs to the streets. He was always going to the highest bidder. I told y'all, if the Savannah Bananas came in and said $766 million sold, so he'd be playing with the Bananas. He'd be playing banana ball. Let's go to White Plains and talk to Luigi next. Hello, you're on the Fan.
How are you, buddy? Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
I'm good. How are you?
Love your show, man.
Thanks. Thanks for calling.
What do you think about, I was listening to Sal all day. He was complaining all day that he didn't watch the All-Star game.
I think Sal is the best. I was just saying with Marco in here, and I was talking, I'm like, Sal, I said, Sal comes in, he's solo. He doesn't have too many ingredients to cook, but he's got to cook for 4 hours, and he's a pro. He starts cooking up some stuff. I was cracking up when the guy called him and he said, if Juan Soto jumps off the bridge, you'll jump off the bridge. And Sal's like, I'm not doing it. I don't have to do this.
Sal had a show all day talking about he didn't watch the All-Star game because Juan did not make the All-Star game.
The almost All-Stars game. He said it wasn't the All-Star game. It was almost.
Listen, I'm a big Yankee fan. I'm so bitter that Juan Soto did not sign with the Yankees. But at the same time, you know, let's face it, Juan Soto's one. What do you think? He's a top five, top ten baseball player, Major League Baseball.
He's a top five player in baseball. He absolutely should have been amongst his peers, the best players in the game.
That's crazy.
I'm not bitter anymore because I understood what the Yankees had to do. They did replace his production, but nobody replaces what Juan Soto will be in October, and that's what the Mets fans are hoping. They're hoping that they can get into the tournament and have those moments where there's a runner on first and second, and there's two outs, and here comes Juan Soto, and it's mano y mano, him versus the pitcher, and Juan Soto treats those moments like they're spring training, like it's the same to him. So, yeah, I don't know. Hopefully Judge inherits some of that, right? Hopefully some of these guys like Belly and Goldschmidt have some of that slow heartbeat, have some of that, you know, just dog in them when we get to the most crucial moments where the pressure is at its highest.
Right, right. No, I agree. Listen, like I said, it's very strange how Major League Baseball does not promote, advertise, you know, top players in their league. It's I think it's crazy. You know, you have all these Dominicans that love Juan Soto. Like I said, I'm a big Yankee fan. I love Juan Soto. I'm disappointed that he didn't sign with them. But you can't have Juan Soto not making the All-Star game. It's crazy.
Yeah, it makes you think about, like, is there some type of hidden agenda? Is there somebody that's like, I don't know, I've talked all around it. There has to be, because Major League Baseball could easily step in and be like, he's in there.
I mean, do you think,
and no
do you
one
think
would make a fuss about it. There isn't one radio host fan that would be like, oh, my God, they put Juan Soto in the All-Star game. Of course they did.
Let's face it. I mean, baseball, it's a numbers game. If you look at his numbers, He belongs in the All-Star game.
Definitely.
Crazy that he didn't make
it. If you look at his numbers today, him being an outlier, it is wrong. It is wrong. But, you know, if I play devil's advocate, and I have been on air, he did not have those numbers in April. He did not have those numbers in May. When the players voted and when the fans voted and they pulled up Pete Crow Armstrong, Kyle Tucker, Fernando Tatis, Ronald Acuna Jr., even though Ronald Acuna Jr. didn't start playing until like May, but you know, you knew Ronald Acuna Jr. was going to be there because it's in Atlanta. That's the only argument that you can make, was that he came up a little bit short. He came out of the box a little slow for his own standards and the highest paid player in the sport.
I agree. He started off slow, but let's face it. I know you looked at his numbers. I looked at his numbers. He probably had one of the best juniors ever. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. So the All-Star game was in July. Not in April. Not in May. Not in June. In July. June counts. So, yeah, he did start slow, but he still should have been an All-Star. He had to be an All-Star. That's my opinion. Love the show, bro.
Thanks for the call, Luigi. My opinion is he should have been an All-Star. Both nights, I put my hand up and I started off. I'm going to say it again. Juan Soto belongs with the best players in the game. I've been to 3 out of the last 5 All-Star games. Juan Soto was at all of those. I've seen Juan Soto there as a National. I've seen Juan Soto there as a Padre. I've seen Juan Soto there as a Yankee. And then I did kind of point at the Met fan and say, hey, if you're mad, be mad at yourself. Stuff the ballot for your guy who chose you, right, big brother? The Yankee fans put him in there last year, and it was like everybody wanted to see him and Judge in the outfield together, him and Judge in the order together. They had those two mic'd up, and all they did was talk about how great each other. Oh, no, he's the best hitter in the game. No, he's great. Oh, what's it like hitting in front of this guy? What's it like being in the outfield? Oh, these guys. What happened this year? Sums up. 888-808-1009. Sums up. Because somebody in Major League Baseball could have been like, no, you got to put Soto in. It's an All-Star game. There's some kind of hidden agenda. I think there's some animosity. I think that there's definitely there's a thought to baseball feeling like maybe his contract is so ridiculous. Maybe the way that he went about it and played it and like, you know, it didn't just start this season. I don't know. He should have been an All-Star. He should have been in that game. So anybody that has that gripe, I understand. But also anybody that says, yo, he wasn't an All-Star, bro. He didn't get the votes. He wasn't an All-Star. The players didn't vote him in. The fans didn't vote him in. That's correct. You can't buy your way into the All-Star game. If Steve Cohen could buy him a spot, he would have bought him a spot. But it's over with now. And so now you wait till 2026. And I put my money on Juan Soto being an All-Star in 2026 down in Philadelphia. 888-808-1019. I want to play some audio here before we get back to your calls. I was mentioning Derek Jeter last night as I was watching the post game, and you know, I did catch on Twitter everybody saying, oh, A-Rod picked the Yankees over the Dodgers. Jeter picked the Yankees over the Cubs for their World Series picks. There was a little bit more to what Jeter had to say. Let's play it until we hear that part, and then I'll cut it. Go ahead and run that.
Now the fun part, we get to put you guys on the spot and ask who's going to go to the World Series.
Oh, no.
It's Derek's favorite. You've been waiting, you know, the entire weekend for this moment. Who's going
to
go there,
Cap?
Derek?
What you got, Cap?
First of all, let me preface this with this is unfair. It really is unfair. Last year, I picked the Baltimore Orioles to go to the World Series. And hold on. You picked Boston to go to the World Series.
Well, you know.
But the reason why I picked them is I was looking forward to the trade deadline, and Baltimore had a stacked minor league system. I thought they were going to make a move. They didn't do it. They didn't win. So this year, I am going with the New York Yankees. Brian Cashman. Yankees are going to beat the Cubs in the World Series.
Whoa.
The Yankees because Cashman basically said he's all in. So I expect the Yankees to do something at the trade deadline.
Okay. Brian Cash. I don't know if there's still anything with Brian Cashman and Jeter. I'm sure they're on good terms. But that's Jeter holding Cash to the fire. I remember being in Seattle 2 years ago at the deadline and Jeter saying that Cashman should go out and get Juan Soto. And honestly, we heard that that's where the conversation started with AJ Preller and Omar Minaya, like that All-Star game, because everybody was together. They didn't make the move at that deadline, but then that offseason they did. So what happens next? 888-808-1019. We got to take a break next. If you're on hold, stay on hold. If you'd like to join the show, dial up. Keith McPherson on the Fan. BR.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Aw, yeah! Halfway through another 5-hour KM to AM. It's a sprint, not a marathon. Let's get back to these phones, though. I don't want to keep you guys hanging. Rob is in Westchester. Rob, you're on.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Taking my call?
Of course.
I just got off the bridge, the Cuomo / Tappan Zee bridge. Question, third base, Yankees, what are we doing?
It's funny. I was just talking about Eugenio Suarez and, in my chat, D. Louis says, don't trade for Suarez. He wants to be a Yankee. We'll just get him in the offseason. Like, I'm unsure what they do. They need to get a right-handed third baseman. But, like, Suarez is a home run hitter. He's obviously the main one that they're going to throw out there. But I don't know if he's the answer. I think they're going to want a lot for him.
I don't know if he's the answer. There's a lot of swing and miss there, too. And we have enough of that.
Right.
In my opinion. And I don't know. I don't know what happened to.
I kind of want a guy.
We can only have low batting average at certain positions. And third base, we can't afford it. You know, we already have one at short. It's not producing as much. But you could shortstop. So where do you go from there? You can't just have a good third. But we obviously have good third baseman, but I think the experiment is over with what we have there. I think they've gotten enough at bats.
It's time
to try something different.
I would like a high average contact hitter because, like you're saying, Peraza bats 150. He's an automatic out, and he bats next to Volpe, where it's like you get to the bottom of the order.
It's like the 70s all over again. You know, the 8 and 9 hitter for a National League team is just it's an auto out.
you're the pitcher.
And then none of this really gets going anywhere without having confidence in the bullpen, because I don't really have much confidence in anybody in the bullpen, and that's a shame.
We're supposed to have confidence in Devin Williams, but you've seen the worst of him this year. You're supposed to have confidence in Luke Weaver, but you've seen him turn into the guy that was free for Cashman to pick up too. Like, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, that's 8 and 9. That's not to mention 6 and 7. And, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You need high leverage guys to get out.
We
postseason.
Can't get the out.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have the answers.
They need that. That would be for starters. And then, like you said, we got to get a good third baseman. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Have a good evening.
Thanks for the call, Rob. Yeah, Cashman's working on it, though. He's working on it. He knows. I don't have to have the answers. He knows. And if he's saying he's going to town, and if Jeter is calling him out on it, I expect him to do his job. And like I said, Cashman will not – he's not long for this one. Like, he's been working for the – like, he's going to retire at some point. He's going to want to pass the torch at some point, I think, before 2030. Like, I think in this decade, bro. It's 2025. He's trying to win another championship in the next 3 to 4 or 5 years max. And there's some long plays there, but there's also like the belief that it's a crapshoot, that any year you get in could be your year. That maybe this year, and like, I don't know, I expect the Yankees to win the division, but what if they don't win the division? What if they get in as a wild card? What if Judge carries them? What if somebody else goes crazy? What if Belly goes crazy? What if Goldie? What if Stanton? Whatever. Like, there's so many different variables. You want to have all your bases covered. Third base is the number one thing. And then I think high leverage relievers, two of them is the number two thing before a starter. Because I think you can get by with Max Fried, Rodon, Heel. Obviously, Clark is done for the year. Stroman's probably not even making any postseason rosters. Cam Schlittler. What's the progress on Ryan Yarbrough? Because he was good for a little while, man. He was a Cashman find. that kind of just came out of nowhere. He was put on the 15-day IL 3 weeks ago. I mean, so he's going to be coming back at some point soon. Fernando Cruz got to be coming back at some point soon. Mark Leiter Jr. coming back at some point soon. I'll check the Yankees injury report. But yeah, tomorrow makes it 2 weeks from the deadline. And what I'd like to happen too, and I'm not getting my hopes up this year. Like, make some moves before the deadline. Like, be proactive. Get in front of the line. Get in front of some of these other teams. Cashman seems like he wants to wait till the end to do these, like, buzzer beater type of transactions. Like, and I think that's because he ends up having the upper hand. I don't know. In my mind, I'm like, imagine you're on a call with Cashman right before the All-Star break. Then you don't hear from him again until right before the trade deadline. It's like, oh, yeah, that deal we spoke of. Here it is. You ready? Ready to do this now? No? You sure? Wait. Yeah. Yes? All right. You got 15 minutes to call me back or that deal's off the table. Like, I think that's the type of stuff that goes down. I don't know. I'm not a GM. Let's go to Ron Konkema and talk to Chris on the Fan next. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Keith. You said that you wouldn't trade Dominguez or maybe even Jones. Well, you trade Jones. But I want to give you a player that you'd have to try to go. And I think the Atlanta Braves would sell. I think Austin Riley has a big contract. And he's perfect for the New York Yankees. And you should give up Dominguez and something else to him. And because you're getting a star back. If they would do that, what are your thoughts? Go after Riley. Take a splash.
Yeah, I thought about Austin Riley. I think the Braves, if they keep losing and they're completely out of it, they should be sellers. And yes. I think Austin Riley is another good name to throw into the mix.
He's better than Suarez. He's locked up for a decent contract. If you look at his contract, it's a big contract, but it's nothing like,
yeah,
you know, like a lot we're going to get. You know,
the Braves like that. Do that. They do that very well.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah,
Ozzie Albies. And listen, something about Ozzie Albies, if you had Albies in second and move Jazz back to third, the Yankees are a better team.
Yeah, but they're not going to move Jazz. I think they want to keep Jazz at second. But yeah, the Braves are good at those long-term contracts for the low with their guys. That's how they have so many of their, you know, top guys locked up, like Albies, like Acuna, even when they traded for Olsen, the deal they gave him. But yeah, Austin Riley, if they are willing to trade him, they are 9.5 games
Dominguez
out of the wild card.
Like,
would I trade Dominguez for Austin Riley?
You would have to do it. One thing about Dominguez is he has no glove. And you can't look your pitchers in the eye and she put him in the outfield. It's not fair. They get aggravated. You could see it. You could see it on their faces.
Yeah, this play's got to get made. Yeah, yeah, I've seen it. I understand.
Yeah, it's not right to the pitchers. And you have better players out there. And that's why they play the outfield as they do, because they play Grisham because he's a better defender. And it's as big as baseball. You know that. Defense pitching, they win.
Yeah, and that's what the Yankees are supposed to be focusing on this year. Thanks for the call, Chris. You know, even mentioning Trent Grisham. Trent Grisham made a play Saturday going to his right, to like left center, where he actually ran. And I was out in the terrace. Shout out to the terrace squad, Fresh Direct Terrace, holding it down. And we could see him open up his stride. And I was like, hey, how come you couldn't do that before? You know, nursing a hammy. With Dominguez, though, do you guys feel like he's never going to be able to play left field? He's a center field dude. Like, I don't know. When I saw him come up for those 8 games, I felt like he was comfortable in center field a few years ago. Left field is not his natural position. He doesn't look comfortable. Even when he is there, like some of the catches he makes, he'll either the ball be high or a snow cone, or he'll end up getting there late and barely catching the ball or just not getting a read on the ball. It's a liability. But he's 21 years old. I think he can work on those things. I think he has so much talent and potential, like to be a star player, a switch hitter, a guy with a good eye already, a leadoff hitter. Who's your leadoff hitter? You move Dominguez for Austin Riley. You're going to lead off Austin Riley? No. But yeah, Austin Riley's contract with the Braves is through 2032. And I think that the Braves don't want to move any of those guys. Because, yeah, it's a down year for them this year, but they're going to be right back after it, getting after it next year, you know? I don't think they want to move any of those guys that they were able to get those bargain hometown discount type deals with. Yeah, I was just looking on ChatGPT. There's currently no indication that the Atlanta Braves are actively considering trading Austin Riley. But I don't know, maybe Cashman can call him up and force their hand. You've seen him do it in the postseason. You've seen him hit. In theory, I'm not against that. 274 hitter right now with 14 homers. I don't know. I'm not giving up Dominguez. I'm not giving up on Dominguez yet. I think Dominguez is like, you know, okay, so much was made of Gleyber Torres this week. I think you guys forgot Gleyber Torres. Like, we haven't heard anything about Gleyber Torres playing in the All-Star game. But, like, I look at Gleyber as not the one that got away, but, like, I look at Gleyber as a guy, like, we knew he was talented. That was your leadoff hitter. We knew Gleyber could hit. And we knew Gleyber just needed to change his scenery. What if Gleyber's a perennial All-Star? Like, do you care? I guess you won't care because you have Jazz, who was an All-Star at second base, too. I just see Dominguez as, like, what the future of baseball looks like. Like, Dominguez, to me, looks like, you know, just somebody that's going to be really exciting. Somebody that you turn the game on for. Because he can do so many different things. He's got to get that glove together. And that's on the Yankees. That's on the Yankees to work with and develop. And that's the Yankees. If you want to put him in left field, then he should be every single day going through drills, going through reps, going through different things to get better. And I don't think at 21 is when you decide a guy doesn't have it. I don't think at 21 is when you say he doesn't have a glove. I think you got to see that through a little bit more. And when you look at this team as currently constructed, Dominguez hasn't played enough. I'm not trading Dominguez and ending it there. I'm not getting this kid's feet wet this year for a half of a year and trading him. I think he's someone that can help you in the postseason. I wish he could have helped last year. Kind of grinds my gears when we think back to last year. How much Verdugo played. And Trent Grisham and Ben Rice and Jason Dominguez couldn't get on the field. But Rizzo and Verdugo were playing, and neither one of those guys are in Major League Baseball now. It's kind of crazy, right? It's like, you had some talent. You had some guys that could have potentially helped Judge, helped the team. And they couldn't get on the field. Anyway, said I was going to look up the injury report. So, Ryan Yarbrough was put on the IL June 20th. He's expected back possibly by the end of this month. He's resumed a throwing program as of July 10th, and I don't know. We'll see with him. Forgot about Yuri De Los Santos. He was put on the IL just the day before or just a month before. No, this is the same month, June 19th, and he's also expected back at some time, you know, later in this month. Fernando Cruz, they're saying August. Fernando Cruz, they need him back. And we can't forget about Fernando Cruz and that splitter. Like, if they aren't able to get two relievers and they're able to just get one, you get Cruz back later in the year and you get him ready to go for the postseason and you kind of bring him on slowly and he's a weapon. Other than that, like, that's it. There's not much more help on the way. Jake Cousins, not coming back. Mark Leiter Jr., they don't have an expected return date for that. He's got a left fibular head stress fracture. Luis Gil was just at Somerset with the Patriots, and he's a possibility to return in August or later this month, probably be August. He threw 50 pitches, 36 strikes in his first rehab game with AA Somerset on July 13th. Struck out six batters, went 3 1/3 innings pitch, allowing one run on two hits and one walk. I do remember seeing some of those clips on Twitter from his outing. So, yeah, third base is where you start. And then relief pitchers next. And then if you can get, I mean, I'm saying Zach Gallen, but hey, I'll take a Merrill Kelly as well to eat innings. Let me take another call. I've got some other things coming in as we just, you know. I gotta go. My boy Gabe texts me, right? And it sucks that, you know, once you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, you're always a Dallas Cowboys fan. I can't shake it. I can't. You guys call up and you gotta remind everybody, hey, this guy's a Cowboys fan. This guy rooted for the Dallas Cowboys his whole life. It's fine. I'll wear it. Better than being like a Commanders fan or a Vikings fan or what other kind of fans do we have in here? Falcons fan. Like a Cowboys, at least that makes sense. Like America's team. And they were winning Super Bowls when I was a child, when I first started watching. Anyway, My boy Gabe sends me a video of Barclays Center. Micah Parsons is courtside at the Liberty game tonight. I guess he wanted to see Caitlin Clark, but she's not playing. They put Micah Parsons on the big screen. They booed this man. They booed him. He's even laughing at himself and he did a shrug like, what did I do? Yeah, them Giants fans in the building. They don't rock with you, man. They remember they could have drafted you, man. Calvin's in Washington Heights on the Fan next. What's up, man?
Oh, Keith, what up, my guy? How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Keith, I got a couple of points that I wanted to make point. I know I'm going to mention this player, and I'm not saying it because of anything, but it makes sense. Jose Ramirez, probably the sixth best player in baseball, right? Clearly. Now, I'm going to make a point for the Yankees and the Mets. You're going to say, oh, probably he's not in the trade market. Yes, he's most likely could be in the trade market. The reason I will say this is because the Cleveland Guardians and the Tampa Bay Rays, they have a great front offices, but they play intelligently. What they do is they don't play the pocketbooks. They sell their players before they leave their prime. Jose Ramirez is still in his prime. He's probably been the most consistent players with a handful of players in baseball. So Cleveland is most likely going to try to cash out. They could cash out. The Yankees is willing to pay the prospects for him. Same way for the Mets. Both teams need their basemen. Now, for the Yankees, if you get him, you're punching your ticket into the World Series. I will put a period in that, and you'll make it. And you actually have a chance to win it. And if the Mets get him, you're going to a 7-game series or a 6-game series with the Dodgers. Because you could put him in front of Juan Soto, and he fills out every box that you want. Defense, average. He'll do in Yankee Stadium or in Citi Field. In Yankee Stadium, for sure, he'll do 40-40-40. He was close to it to doing the last season. And I'm making this statement because Cleveland did it with Francisco Lindor. They've done it with the previous stars. They hold them, and this is the only way that they can compete. Their front offices trade their players off right before so they can get some value and play their prospects and see who can be the next, you know, players for them in their future.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we take these J-Ram calls every week, and I always go back to, you know, he's only halfway through his 7-year contract. He's under team.
Five years.
Okay, well, he's under team control for another 4 years after this until he hits free agency. And I just don't understand why they would get rid of the face of their franchise, why they would trade him away. They would try and finesse. They would try and fleece you for multiple prospects. Like, I don't know. If he's available, it's worth it, right? But like,
yeah, it's worth it. You don't want to waste a season of Aaron Judge. You don't want to waste a season of him in the Mets. You don't want to waste a season of the mix of Alonso, Lindor, and Soto, and et cetera. You don't want to miss that. The Mets will have to get bullpen help, but for both teams, you don't want to miss these years. I mean, if you got to pay the prospects, you pay the prospects. At the end of the day, they're prospects. This guy is probably most likely going to go to the Hall of Fame. If Scott Rowland made it to the Hall of Fame at the route that Jose Ramirez is going, he's going to the Hall of Fame too. So no jab shots. I'm just keeping it 1,000, you know?
Heard you. Thanks for the call. I mean, we talk about Jose Ramirez every week, like I said. I mean, it's a pipe dream. It's a theoretical. It's something that gets thrown out there. I mean, more so than Austin Riley. I always return to the same things. You got to give to get. It takes two to tango. Like, they're not just giving you these players. We want these players as fans. That's why we're not GMs. That's why we don't work in baseball. Like, the haul that it would take to get Ramirez, you got to send them like 5 prospects, one active player. Like, I don't think he's on the trade block. Even though when you look at the Guardians, they're not good this year. They're 46-49. They're 4.5 out of the wild card. What I've also said about the Yankees, maybe they trade him with the Mets, but for the Yankees, like, the Guardians got to the American League Championship last year. Who knocked them off? The Yankees. Why would they want to make the Yankees stronger? Why would they want to give the Yankees the piece that could make them automatic World Series favorite? I just don't see it. I don't think it's that simple. I think there are guys with expiring contracts that simple. But guys like Austin Riley, guys like Jose Ramirez, who are under control for a lot longer than just like the next couple, like, and team-friendly deals, you don't move those guys. Your fans will hate you, especially to give them to the Yankees. What do I always say? There's 29 teams and the New York Yankees. It's the 29 teams versus the New York Yankees. They're not trying to help the Yankees. And there's a Cashman tax. So what they might trade Corbin Burns to the Orioles for, the Yankees aren't getting that deal. The Yankees aren't getting that deal. Maybe the Mets get some deals. Let's talk Mets. Like, maybe David Stearns has relationships that we don't fully know of. This is only year two of David Stearns. Maybe he is cooking up some stuff. I thought he did well last year. I thought he put together a pretty good bullpen based off of where the Mets bullpen was last year. He's got to do that again. Does the Met fan feel like they have enough starting pitching? Does the Met fan feel like they need another starter? I think you do. I think you do. I mean, Clay Holmes has hit a wall. He's never pitched as much as he's in line to pitch this year. And you're not throwing him. You're not throwing him in the postseason. He could be a weapon coming out of the bullpen if you save him. You know, there's rumors out there of the Mets going to get Seth Lugo back. A second tour with him. As I keep mentioning Zach Allen. It's funny, the Mets and the Yankees need a lot of the same things, it seems. The Yankees don't need another outfielder. I know there's a lot of talk about the Mets getting another outfielder, like a Cedric Mullins or Harrison Bader that I mentioned. Jaron Duran is going nowhere because the Red Sox are rolling. Byron Buxton came out at the All-Star game and said, I'm a twin for life, so you can forget about Byron Buxton. He's got a no-trade clause. Brian Reynolds is another one who does not want to go to the Mets or the Yankees. The Mets need a bat in center field. The Mets need another starter, in my opinion. It was good to see Sean Manaea come back, but he's got to regain his form. I don't know how you guys really feel about Frankie Montas. I don't think he's like that. And what happened last year? When you got to the postseason, your starters didn't have it. You kind of ran out of gas. Like, everybody knows it. When you get to October, you need aces on the mound that can give you innings, that can give up nothing. And they also don't want to bring up any of their young prospects. We did see a lot of Jonah Tung. I think he played in the Futures game, so that's why he popped up a bunch. Maybe we see Nolan McLean. Maybe we see Brandon Sproat. Not just Blade, Daywalker, Tidwell. Honestly, with the Mets, you just need your Fab Four, your Flushing Four, your Met Quartet. I don't know what the name is now. You need those guys to carry their weight, play like they're paid at the top of the order, and then the pitching doesn't matter as much. But I don't know. Let's see what Ray in Waterbury thinks about the Mets. What's up, Ray?
Hi, Keith. Great show as usual. On the trade deadline, I'll say this. If the Yankees, I'm a diehard Met fan, as you know. I'll say this. If the Yankees get Suarez, that's a heck of a lineup. That's the old Bronx Bombers.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean.
You got to like that.
I mean, I guess you could bat him.
You know, you bat him right behind the big boys, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You could bat him behind Belly. You could bat him.
Right.
You know how they go lefty, righty, like you put him behind Judge.
Right. And that and Yankee Stadium, it's the Bronx Bombers. With him and he's good, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He's going to get
I know
gonna,
it's just the price. What's the asking price for a rental? What are they asking for Spencer Jones? I can't give away Spencer Jones.
No, but you know what? A team that has a rental that's going to be probably out of the race, they're going to, when push comes to the shove at the deadline, they'll take what they can get, you know, because they'll get something for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to squeeze these guys.
Good, you know?
Pause. You got to get these guys to the last hours of the trade deadline and say take it or leave it, and they'll make a move. And
they'll take it.
So much matters in this next 2 weeks as far as how teams get out of the gate this weekend and the next week before the draft.
You're absolutely right.
Before the deadline.
Some of them are going to fall on their face. Some of these teams are going to fall. I think Kansas City is going to fall on their face. So they're going to be completely out of it. I think Arizona is going to fall on their face. They're going to be out of it.
I mentioned before, Adam Frazier, like the Royals just made a move today as buyers. So like maybe they're trying to make a push. But might not matter.
Without Corbin Burns, they're going nowhere. The year that Gallon's having, there's the package to get.
somebody, if the Mets or Yankees could get Suarez and Gallen, then it hits the jackpot.
It's going to cost you it's going to cost you three of your top 10 prospects.
Yeah, you know what? But both Gallen's young. His last two starts, Keith, were real good. The whole year he's been bad.
No,
but
I know.
You got to believe he's better than that, you know?
He's Cy Young, ace type. Like, he started the All-Star game in 2023 for the National League. He came to Yankee Stadium, he struck out 12. He's having a down year, but that doesn't mean he can't turn it on in October for whoever gets him.
He doesn't have an injury. It's just a bad year so far. But he showed signs the last two starts, you know? Thank you, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Ray. Yeah, I think, you know, as we know about David Stearns and him not wanting to pay pitchers for long-term deals, I'm sure they're interested in Zach Gallen or might be interested in a trade for Zach Gallen. Everybody would be. You've seen this guy be really nasty. You've seen him have some filthy stuff. It's just, what's the price? And we always find out, like, afterwards, right? It always seems like we find out the asking price is too much afterwards. I did see SNY Mets put out Zach Gallen to the Diamondbacks, and the Mets would give up Jesus Baez, their number six prospect, and Zach Thornton, who's not ranked. So for Zach Gallen, they're just asking for one of your top 10 prospects and another prospect. But if you're also trying to get Eugenio Suarez, they're probably going to ask for a little bit more. Nick is in Mahwah, New Jersey on the Fan next. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Keith. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to throw out an idea for Mets for the trade.
All right.
What do you think of doing Jaron Duran and Aroldis Chapman from Boston? We're going to need a lefty coming out of the pen down the stretch in the playoffs. And center field is also a weak point. We don't really have a bat there right now. I don't know exactly what you have to give up, but what are your thoughts on something like that?
I mean, I just don't think that the Red Sox are going to part with Chapman. Pitched in the All-Star game, was an All-Star last night. Jaron Duran was the MVP of the All-Star 2 years ago, and like, they need both of those guys. I think the Red Sox think that this is a year that they can make the wild card, or they're only a game behind the Yankees. They're only three games out of first place. I don't expect the Boston Red Sox to sell, especially because their general manager came out and like they were the first ones to sell, and they sold Devers, and then they came out and said, hey, you might look at this team later in the year and maybe we've won more games and we would. Like, they're on a heater right now. They just won 10 in a row. I don't think that they're trading their starting center fielder and their all-star reliever.
Yeah, it's probably a pipe dream, but, you know, help us out in the short term.
Absolutely would help the Mets. Thanks for the call, Nick. But it's like, that's where we are right now. I don't know. That's why we say that the trade deadline should be later. When they lock out next year, they need to talk about that. Make the trade deadline August 31st. So we know who's in and who's out. You added this extra playoff team. It added extra confusion. Because on July 31st, when you look at the American League, and you look at the, all right, in the American League, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams that are 4.5 games or less out of the wild card. So all of those teams are in limbo right now. All of those teams feel like, hey, if we get a hot week, we're in it. And if we can stay there, you know. And it is business. So much of it is about getting people to come to the ballpark, keeping your fans engaged. It's a long season. The dog days are coming. If you punt in July, on July 31st, people are shutting it down. They're not rocking with you in August. And then what if you get hot? I don't know. It depends on these GMs, how they're feeling and what the prices are. We need a Hard Knocks on that. We had off-season Hard Knocks for the Giants. We need a trade deadline Hard Knocks with, you know, some of these GMs in Major League Baseball. Brian Cashman would never go for it. David Stearns would pass on it as well. 888-808-1019. All right, it's 10 o'clock. We should break it down here. We'll continue to talk about the Mets and the Yankees at the trade deadline. Keep giving me your thoughts and your trade propositions and ideas. None of us know anything. I don't know anything. But I just, you know, do what I just did. Like, start talking about, hey, these teams, where they're at in the standings, you know, what these players mean to them, what it's going to take. I can't wait for the deadline now. It's 2 weeks from tomorrow. And I really can't wait for the season to start, because we'll have one, 2, 3, 4, 5 about series. And you got to hope that these teams that are on the cusp of being sellers completely fall out. And, I mean, the Mets and Yankees, no matter what happens, they're buyers. They're going for it. So, Keith McPherson on the Fan. If you're on hold, stay on hold. If you've got an idea, a trade proposition, somebody that you're targeting at the deadline, you know, somebody that maybe we haven't mentioned yet. I don't care if you throw out, you know, somebody we did mention yet. We'll talk around it when we get in this 10 o'clock hour. When we get to the 11 o'clock hour, we'll do the big shot of the night and we'll do open mic. Whatever you guys want to talk about. If you want to talk about Odell Beckham Jr. and his Bitcoin, we could do that. If you want to talk about Dave Portnoy, that's what I wanted to talk about. Dave Portnoy and Barstool. And maybe I'll find the ratings for last night's MLB All-Star game during the break. I do have the ratings on the Home Run Derby. So there's still plenty more to do, much more sports talk to talk about. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Fan.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.